This year, the first baby boomers turned 60, and as they have with so much else, they are changing the image of the retiree. The standard profile of the elderly described a person on a limited income, not very active, with special needs that are a drain on the community's resources rather than a boost to those resources. And if they moved anywhere, it was most likely to Florida. Well, today, the thinking is that those over 50, on average, have more disposable income than those between 20 and 50, according to demographers. Today's elderly are also more active. They want to be engaged in the community. They're twice as likely to move somewhere where they, when they retire, than previous generations. And they don't want to tax community services and schools the way families might, because they need schools or other services in that community, so they're less a drain. In other words, retiring boomers have become a desirable demographic, so much so that cities and towns and states from Alaska to Texas to North Carolina have started to actively target the coming wave of boomer retirees to try to convince them to come to their communities. Later in the program, we're going to take a look at the latest on bird flu, particularly in Turkey, and efforts to prevent the flu pandemic. I'll take your questions, but first, baby boomers and retirement. If you're a boomer, give us a call. Where do you plan to retire? Join the conversation. Give us a call at 800-989-8255, 900-800-989-TALK, our email address, totn@npr.org. Ken Dykewald is a gerontologist and a CEO of AgeWave. That's a think tank that studies aging trends. He's also author of The Power Years, A User's Guide to the Rest of Your Life, and he joins us from our New York bureau. Thanks for being with us, Ken.
It's great to be here, Frank.
How big is this group we're talking about?
Well, there's 77 million boomers. That's a pretty big group, the largest generation in American history.
A lot of old folks. Why are they becoming so? I'm one of them.
I wouldn't call them old folks. I mean, that's the first rule we have to learn about this generation.
Okay.
Boomers want to grow old youthfully. They don't think of themselves as ever becoming seniors or elderly. This is a generation, in a sense, that's taking the 50s and 60s and rewriting the rules and maybe even turning it into a kind of a middle essence. But I didn't mean to interrupt.
Well, why are they such a desirable group?
Well, it's an interesting situation because the boomers have always been catered to, partly because the enormous numbers of this generation. When boomers came along, housing projects took off, education soared as a priority. When the boomers reached their teenage years, acne medication, you know, like Clearasil, you know, sold off the shelves. And then when the boomers bought their Mustang convertibles, it put auto manufacturers on notice. Now, as you mentioned, you know, the first boomer, not all, but the first boomer has just turned 60. And so in the next few years, this generation will be thinking about not just retirement, but what version of retirement do they want to live? Do I want to live? Do each of us want to live? And as we begin to kind of scratch our head and think about this new next chapter in our lives, marketers and even communities are beginning to realize that, my God, there's a lot of people. They got a lot of money. They're going to have a lot of benefits, a lot of entitlements, a lot of needs. And on the other hand, they're not particularly dangerous, so they're not a security problem, and they won't necessarily need new schools to be built. So right. It's a pretty attractive group to recruit to your community.
Apart from the fact that there are more of us, is there anything different about the way, for instance, income? Is there anything different about that than in previous generations?
Well, the truth of it is that when people reach their 50s, they're in their peak earning years, and that usually goes on until retirement day, which on average is at around 64. I want to point out, though, that about 80% of boomers expect to be working beyond retirement day. They may want to work at something new and different. Maybe you've been a corporate executive and now you'd like to open up a coffee shop, or maybe you've been a school teacher and you'd like to try your hand at being a poet. It's a generation that intends to continue earning. Partly, I'm sure that's being caused by the realization that entitlements and pensions are sort of dissolving around us. But they'll have money to spend. But even more interesting, Frank, compared to our moms and dads, and I'm 55 myself, our moms and dads grew up in the shadow of the Depression. And so even though it turns out they're now the wealthiest segment in American society, they've always grown up somewhat frugal. They were never inclined to be free spending with their money. The boomers are quite the opposite. The boomers, unfortunately, sometimes spend more than they even have. So here you've got a generation about to have more free time than ever before, more willing to relocate, a whole set of new adventures in front of them, and both with money and the willingness to spend it. That's a pretty interesting consumer audience, whether you're selling automobiles, furniture, software, or housing in your community.
So we're talking today about cities and states wooing the boomers as they retire because they are a desirable demographic. And we're taking your calls at 800-989-8255. Rez is on the line from Sonora, California. Hi, Rez.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I am an original boomer, 1946, mm-hmm. and recently retired from a 30-plus year life in education at the secondary community college university level. And I'm relocating to Davis, California, partially for academic reasons, and I have an appointment at an institute there as a fellow, but more because I want to be back in the university community, which is not atypical for people my age, yeah. of moving back to a place where there's a more vital intellectual atmosphere, a more vital performing arts structure, sure. and you know, just kind of a whole... different aura from what I have experienced. And I reside in a community now in Sonora, California, which is near Yosemite, about two-thirds of Yosemite is my county, where you have this enormous surge of retirees, including in my own age. But they're coming for other reasons. And I'm seeing an exodus from places like this on behalf of people like myself who have raised their children, had a good family experience, and going back to major metropolitan urban areas, which I dearly miss.
So this is your chance to do it now that your job doesn't require you to stay where you were.
That's right. And my wife's, coincidentally, my wife's retirement party is this evening. She's 1949, so she's right in the ballpark with us. And we both now have sudden flexibility. We don't have extraordinary retirement incomes, but they're sustainable. We've planned well, and we can do some things that other people might not be able to do. Mm-hmm. And, yes, there are these recruitment efforts. When I speak to real estate people, they're going, oh, you're the prize that we're looking for.
Come on mm-hmm. to our community. Well, what are the? How do they do that? Then what are the kinds of things they show you that they think you're going to be interested
in? Well, you know, it's really kind of interesting because the people that I'm working with, a couple of people that I have secured, who I have some confidence in and think are responsible, don't really understand exactly what I'm doing. But they're, you know, that's not really what they have to do.
They say we got a great oldies station here, is that it?
Some of which I have to say, look.
You're back on the oldies thing, Frank.
I'm sorry, yeah. We both interrupted.
Listen, I'm just not interested in this.
Yeah.
And they say, okay. But, you know, you sort of have to work. I've done a lot of the work on my own. But it's interesting to see the dynamic of how they approach us. And these are people like in their 40s or 30s, right. who are not substantially younger, but still don't have quite the same perspective that we would mm-hmm. possess.
Yeah, right. Well, thanks for the call, Rez.
Thanks for having me.
Frank,
have a great day.
Oh, yeah. Hang on a second, Rez. Hang on. You're going to ask a question, Ken?
Yeah, I'd like to comment on something. First, Rez, I also live in the Bay Area of California, so I know your area and wish you luck.
Community?
I live in the East Bay, right over the hills from Berkeley. Let me make a couple of comments. I think Rez's call, it's great that we begin with this call, reflects two major changes that are going to occur with regard to boomers. First, sociologists have figured out that people kind of want to do in retirement what they liked to do when they were younger but didn't have time for. So today's retirees, who in a way are the guinea pigs of this retirement experiment, worked very hard, were not very well educated, and their dream in retirement was to be on vacation. And so today's retirement landscape is a lot about kind of retirement holidays and retirement housing and retirement communities. And in fact, if you go to Webster's Dictionary and look up the word retirement, it says to disappear. The other thing that's reflected is that today's elders were somehow promoted to consider the idea that living just with people their own age was really going to be grand. Boomers have had the benefit of watching their own parents go through these choices, and neighbors and aunts and uncles. And first of all, I think that what boomers really want is a life of the mind. They want to be where the action is, not where it's not. I think college towns and cities are about to have a revival as boomers want to be where the lectures are, the workshops, the cool people, the coffee houses, the bookstores. And in addition, 93% of boomers in a recent study when asked, would you like to live in a community that's just people your own age, you know, like a retirement community, mm-hmm. or multi-generational? 93% say, I want to be with people of all ages. I want to be in the game, not in some old folks conclave.
All right, Rez,
you've struck a chord with me. My parents are exactly of that generation. And they retired very nicely into the Sierra foothills also. But they live just an essentially sedentary life. So they assume community service. They go bowling. Yeah. They're not things that interest me.
But Rez,
and I think any retiree in any era might have similar concerns and similar interests to what I'm suggesting here.
Right.
But you're right about boomers, that there seems to be more of a willingness to re-explore, to re-examine, to reconnect, and to be diverse in what they're interested in.
I want to get a few more of them on. Thank you for calling, Rez. I appreciate
Thanks.
It.
Take
Thanks.
Take care. Bye-bye.
So, Ken, tell me this. What are these communities doing to approach? You heard Ken say that these maybe the real estate guys in their 30s don't quite get what it is that's going to appeal to boomers. What are they doing, the ones who are successful?
Well, let's keep in mind that the oldest boomer now is 60, and the average retirement age is 64. So this is something that we're just beginning to see. It's sort of like popcorn is in the microwave. It's not quite popping yet. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit like if I could take you to Levittown, Long Island in 1945 before suburbia went crazy. But here's what they're doing. What you're seeing more and more in magazines is that communities and areas, states even, are beginning to put ads out saying, great place to have fun, great place to adventure, have an adventure, low crime, wonderful housing, low taxes, no state taxes, which are very subtle ways of trying to attract that new 60, 65-year-old.
Though it sounds very much like the old way. I mean, you know, a nice, soft life, the sun is shining, the taxes are low. Not talking about the things Rez was talking about, which is a lot of vitality, the urban life, that sort of thing.
Exactly. And what you're seeing in some ads, and frankly, a lot of websites, is the beginnings of promotions that talk more about culture, theater, arts, bookstores, classes. You know, if you live in this town, you can take free classes at the university. If you live in this town, you get free access to the health spa or the gym. If you live in this town, you know, we've got the greatest community center in the region. And the key to it is not the focus on old or aging, because that's a total turnoff to boomers.
Mm-hmm. We are talking about that next generation of retirees and how they spend their golden years. How about you? Give us a call at 800-989-TALK. Send us an email at TOTN at NPR.org. Be back with my guest, Ken Dykewald, and you, your calls on Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Frank Stacio in Washington. We're talking about the changing face of retirement. Cities and towns around the country hoping to cash in on the potential economic boom that older residents may offer. And I'm talking with Ken Dykewald, who will scold me again for using that old word. He's a gerontologist and CEO of AgeWave, a think tank that studies aging trends. We're taking your calls at 800-989-8255. I think we ought to do that right now. Connie's on the line from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Hi, Connie.
Well, hi there.
How's it going with you?
Well, it's going great. And isn't it great to be a baby boomer?
Yeah, at times. So what are you doing? I assume that you're thinking about retirement on your way?
Well, I'm 56 and have been retired for about a year. And my husband is 61, and he's been retired for about 3 years. Mm-hmm. We spend most of our winters in the South because we're from South Dakota, and you're talking about, you know, these great things that people are looking for, baby boomers to come and settle in their areas. And are there publications out there? For an example, South Dakota has a no income tax, state income tax. We probably will relocate in the next couple of years to a warmer climate. Where can a person hone in on these benefits that are out there for the baby boomers since we have all this money to spend?
All right, Ken, any ideas?
Yeah, let me mention a couple of examples, and then I'm not here to promote the book, but in my book I give nothing but lots of websites that you can find if you're in the mind to explore different places to live, and there's about 1,000 websites up there right now that can show you why they want you to move to their town. But there's also another thing going on, which is about 10% of boomers are thinking of buying a second home. And it's not just the rich boomers. It's people who want to have several locations. There's a business called cruiseshipcondos.com for people who want to float around the world nonstop. Sunset Hall in Los Angeles bills itself as a home for free-thinking older adults. Elder Spirit is a residence for artists in Manhattan. San Francisco is developing a gay community for low-income people called Open House. You know, I
you
think
know what else? Ken, you could go to Tyler, Texas.
T- Tyler, Texas.
Well, I'm going to go to Tom Mullins now, who's actually from Tyler, Texas. I want you to stay with us. Tyler, Texas actually has 10 reasons to retire. And Tyler, on its website, it's not the only thing that they've done to attract retirees. Tom Mullins is president and CEO of the Tyler Area Chamber of Commerce and joins us from his office in Tyler, Texas. Thanks for being with us, Tom.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
10 reasons to retire in Tyler. Number one?
Low cost of living, great housing options, warm climate, medical services, recreational opportunities, fine dining, cultural attractions, financial services, educational opportunities, and spiritual and religious options.
Now, it sounds like those are good reasons for anybody to come to Tyler. Are you targeting your message at all to people who might be closing in on retirement?
Yeah, we are. We've been targeting retirees for the last 10 years, and we have a special mail-out package when people call in. And we're finding out that retirees are being very sophisticated about doing a site search, almost like a company looking for a new site. They analyze states, and then they narrow it down to a certain number of cities, and then they make a site visit, and then they make a choice.
And why are you so interested in retirees?
Well, they're a new source of income. What we're trying to do is bring new revenue. We don't want to become just a retirement community, but we want retirees to be a part of the overall economic puzzle. We still have a strong manufacturing and distribution and tourism base and medical and retail and all those things, but retirees bring new dollars in, what we call mailbox income. They spend 90% of that income in the local economy, and they're retiring younger and younger, and they really get involved. They become volunteers, they get active in the community, and they want lots of recreational opportunities and activities to engage in.
All right, Tom, we'll stay with us. I want to go to Malcolm, who's on the line right now from Grant Pass, Oregon. Hi, Malcolm.
Well, good afternoon. How are you?
I couldn't be better. I guess it's Grants Pass, huh?
Yeah, I'm from Grants Pass. I've been here 30 years.
Okay.
I'm originally from Texas. I've lived in Tyler.
Oh, okay.
Hey,
but now, Malcolm.
We can go back. It's too humid in the summer.
I was going to say you left, so that Tom didn't want to hear from you. Go ahead.
And I also would like to caution him. You get too many retirees into your town like we have in Grants Pass, and you have a heck of a hard time floating a school bond initiative. Uh-huh. A lot of the seniors just don't want to pay any taxes.
Oh, so there's the downside. We hadn't thought about that. I mean, the upside is that they don't need schools, so you don't have to build so many classrooms and hire teachers. On the other hand, had you thought about that? Is that a consideration, Ken? I mean, is there this downside before we get a comment from
Tom? Yeah, there is. By the way, I've been to Tyler. You know, it got hit by the oil boom a few decades ago, and now it's perhaps a great place for people to consider relocating. But Malcolm is also right. If any population becomes too heavily concentrated with older people, you run the risk of becoming a kind of a Jurassic Park, G-E-R-A-S-S-I-C, where all of a sudden the older people just take over. And often, and unfortunately, they tend to vote away from school programs. They vote away from certain kinds of infrastructure, which then could cause the community to lose some of its appeal to younger families. Multi-generationality is really what it ought to be, not just one or the other.
Tom, is that something that worries you?
Yeah, it's a common issue that comes up, and let me make two points. One is we don't want to become just a retirement community. I think I sent that a minute ago, that we want them to be a part of the community, and we're going to be retirement friendly, but we don't want that to be the dominant makeup of our economy. Secondly, excuse me, about 15 years ago, Texas A&M did an interesting study with Texas, Arkansas, and Mississippi retirees that had relocated within the last couple of years, and they found out the people that are willing to relocate from where they've been for decades to a new retirement location tend to be higher income, higher education. A lot of them are younger retirees, and when they get to a community, they like to get involved. And when asked the question, if you've been there for at least 2 years and have you had a chance to vote on a school bond issue, how did you vote? A strong majority of them voted to support the school bond issue. And what we found out is that the people who tend to be against growth and against schools and taxes are the people who never left town.
Uh-huh. That's an interesting point. Thank you for your call, Malcolm. What's the deal with the humidity in Tyler, Tom?
Well, at this time of the year, it's very low.
Okay. So that might be my second home then, if I could. Hey, tell me about this now. I understand Tyler is about to become the first certified retirement community in Texas. Tell me about that.
Actually, we have become that. We've been certified for 5 years. We're the only certified community. It's something that we really...
Certified retirement community, right?
Right.
What does that mean?
We we put that program together ourselves. We looked at other states. Tennessee and Mississippi have a program at a state level where they certify communities after they meet a certain list of criteria that would be attractive to retirees, you know, like the list I read earlier, and then maintain that and have a point of contact and really work hard to take care of the issues and questions and needs of retirees. We put that program together on a regional basis here about 5 years ago, and then just this last legislative session, the state legislature has now implemented a statewide certification program for retirees. So I think you'll see more cities in Texas going after the designation.
All right, Tom. Well, thank you very much.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Tom Mullins is president and CEO of the Tyler Area Chamber of Commerce and joins us from his office in Tyler, Texas. We're taking your calls this hour as we talk about how the baby boomers are retiring and just how attractive they are to cities like Tyler and others around the country. 800-989-8255. Doug is on the line from Dayton, Ohio. Hi, Doug.
How you doing?
Good. Got a question for us?
Yeah, hey, I was wondering, you know, most of them people ain't retiring to Florida anymore because probably Florida's filled up, you know. Working people like me, we just can't afford to go anywhere,
yeah.
And that means talking about Tyler, Texas and all that. I mean, you know, common man can't go there. I mean, just too overpriced.
So it's so you're saying that not everybody's going to move. Well, are you planning to move?
No, I can't afford to move, you know. Where am I going to go? Like I said, Florida was the only place a retired man can go. Now it's filled up.
All right. He's
talking about Tyler, Texas, and he's talking about his schools and this and that. You know what? Seriously, I mean, my taxes are ridiculous. You know, my kids are grown. I'm getting ready to retire in 3 years. And, I mean, it's just out of hand.
All right.
These people can talk that. I don't even know because, I mean, I don't. They must live in another world or something. I mean, it ain't like it here.
Well, let's see if we can get the numbers, and thank you for your call. What percentage of the, I guess a couple of questions. Do we have an idea what percentage of baby boomers really are going to move and can afford to?
59% of the boomers are planning on moving either right around the time of retirement or right after, which is a pretty high number.
Well, how does it compare to previous generations?
It's higher. This is a generation that's moved when they went to college or maybe their jobs caused them to relocate. They're more mobile, more comfortable. And by the way, thanks to the internet and frankly, even programs like NPR, you can hear about possibilities. And by the way, Doug, I would tell you that Doug is kind of right, that there are three or four regions of the country that in the past 20 years have become meccas for retirement lifestyles, Florida, Arizona, and the Carolinas. Those are getting pretty expensive, but there's fantastic other regions in the country to live for people at all levels of income if you do a little bit of searching. And more people in the years to come will do more of that. And a lot of these regions are going to start reaching out for you because they'd like your Medicare spend and they'd like your dollar over at the coffee shop and they'd like for you to be paying rent or mortgage payments in your home.
It's only 25 cents because you get the senior discount for the coffee.
I think senior discounts are going to go away, by the way. Sorry about that.
Bob sends us an email, says, my wife and I play music on the side in a small college town in San Luis Obispo, California. And as soon as the kids are in college, we are going to tour. We have albums that get modest airplay on public and independent radio stations around the world. And I expect boomers will enjoy live music as much as they did back in the 60s and 70s.
Absolutely. You know, Cream reunited and sold out Madison Square Garden. As I said, Rolling Stones is still touring. Last year, Destiny's Child tour had a shut down because it wasn't selling seats, but the Eagles sold out. The idea, 2 points that Bob mentions. Number one, maybe you've got a love or a hobby that you've just been too busy for, and you just can't wait to jump into it when you become an empty nester or retiree. And second, there's a lot of people going to have a lot of free time to fill up with movies and theater and poetry and dancing and volunteerism and charitable works. And I also think a lot of boomers are going to try to make the transition from a success to significance, from leisure to legacy. It's not just a matter of what can we do that would be kind of fun in games, but how can we take these years of our lives and really make a contribution to our families and our communities? I think this is some of the flavor you're going to see more of in the years to come.
And if those 60 bands ever stopped touring, PBS would go under. Fundraising would go down by... Hey, what are you going to say?
I think the doo-wop guys are going to live to 100. I don't know how they do it, but they're still pretty darn good.
They're a credit to our loss of hearing, too. Listen, does Florida have anything to worry about in all of this? I mean, the traditional retirement spots, are they going to be hurt?
Yeah, strangely enough, what's happened in the last few months since the weather concerns is that there are people that are second thinking whether they should move to Florida and want to wait a few years until the weather settles down. But I can tell you, I was just in Las Vegas last month, and the amount of condos that real estate speculators are buying up now because of the idea that Florida's market may go softer is going sky high. So, you know, one man's unfortunate circumstances, another man or woman's opportunity. But yeah, I do think people are a little bit anxious right now, just as people used to be about earthquakes in California, a little anxious. But I don't think that's necessarily stopping people, but it is causing people to pause.
We are talking today about what happens when baby boomers retire and how anxious cities and states are to have them retire in their communities. And I'm talking with Ken Dykewald, who is a gerontologist and CEO of AgeWave, a ThinkWave that think tank that looks into these kind of things. Also author of The Power Years, A User's Guide to the Rest of Your Life. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Frank Stacio. We're taking your calls this hour at 1-800-989-8255. Lynn is on the line from Truckee, California. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I retired actually in my mid-late 40s, and I'm now 54, and I've been in Truckee for almost 8 years. And I initially picked Truckee because I wanted mountains and cross-country skiing and trails to run and stuff like that, but I'm finding Truckee somewhat intellectually empty. And so I'm thinking in a few years I will probably move to a town with a university or at least a research institute, but again, another small town. I'm thinking maybe Santa Fe or a place like that.
Hmm. How many people, thank you for your call, Lynn. How many people change, go to a completely different kind of community, or do you think will look for a complete change in lifestyle?
Yeah, it's a great question, Frank, that I think for our grandparents, they kind of grew up and passed away and within probably 10 miles of their childhood.
Yeah.
And then our moms and dads may have moved a little bit and may have even taken that big jump to move to a different town in retirement. Again, the boomers are just so much less likely to be anchored down. And by the way, the biggest gold rush right now in housing for this new generation are these timeshares. So you can spend 3 months in Cabo San Lucas and 3 months in Lake Tahoe and 3 months in Manhattan, which is really kind of the penultimate of not having any one location. But this is a generation, just like Lynn has mentioned, who, if they don't like the way it is right now, they'll do some homework and maybe gather up some friends. And maybe even move with a group of friends and buy a house together and start a new life that'll match their new appetites and interests.
Well, and it also raises the question, Ken, of niche communities. Florida may have some competition as a retirement destination, but there are other ways of making your place desirable. And one tactic is the growing niche retirement community. Gina Rossetti is a land developer and a builder. She and her partner have created two gay and lesbian retirement communities, one in Southwest Florida, the other outside of Boone, North Carolina, called Carefree Cove. They're getting ready to start a third one, and Gina joins us on the line from Orlando, Florida, where she's attending a gathering of the Home Builders Association. Gina, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Frank. How are you today?
I'm doing very well. Tell me when you decided to build the first gay and lesbian retirement community.
Well, we decided back in 94 to create our company and start developing just for this community. We knew that there was a niche that needed to be filled. This market is desirous of living in the same location with each other so that they could share that lifestyle without having any ramifications of it.
What are your customers looking for? What do you think they're looking for?
They're looking for the same thing any other baby boomer is, the nice house, nice location, safe, everything at the same that the baby boomers are looking for, but also the added amenities definitely want to have social areas that they can get together and have parties and a lot of amenities like the walking trails and the exercise rooms. Fitness is very important to my customers. So yeah, it's very typical of baby boomers, and not so much golf, though, although I do have a lot of customers that play golf. But I don't think that it is such a big thing for them to have the big golf course.
But, you know, it does go against one of the trends we've heard, and that is people who want to make sure that they are staying in diverse communities. They don't want to go into, they're saying, old-age retirement places like their parents. But in this case, it's people who want to be among people like them.
That's right. It's a lifestyle. And you'll find lifestyle niche communities of many different things, not just gay and lesbian, but all different kind of interests also are out there. Home Builders Association having a huge convention this week, and I've been to many seminars. People are doing a lot of research into any way that you can be unique in the home building or the land development industry, and one of the ways is to find these little niche markets of lifestyle community.
Well, Gina, stay with us. I've got a few more questions for you and for Ken Dykewald, and we're going to continue to talk about the aging boomer population, where we are all going to go when we retire. That's our conversation today. I'm Frank Stacio. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Today we're talking about the aging baby boom population and where they're retiring. I was talking to Gina Rossetti, who is a land developer and builder. She and a partner have created two gay and lesbian retirement communities, one in southwest Florida, the other outside Boone, North Carolina. And Gina, I know that you're reluctant to talk in too particular detail about the southwest, about the Florida community. Are you sort of in a quandary here about how much you want folks, the neighbors, to know and then how you have to get the word out to gay and lesbian buyers?
It's always been a quandary. That is true. However, one thing we've found is that once people know how wonderful a neighbors you are and that you bring property values up and that you're great neighbors and good for the community, really get involved in the community, give a lot back, they are happy to have you around. We, as developers, hire local tradespeople for everything that we do, and we want to make sure that the local community is getting all of the economic benefit of our coming to their community to develop, and for all the residents coming in, the economic benefit.
Have you ever gotten complaints from the surrounding community?
Never.
And how about
isn't that great?
That sounds like great news. How about the folks who live there? Have they had any sense of being harassed or any of that?
Not at all. Really wonderful people to live around in all of our communities. And I think the main reason is because we are really, really good people to be with and to be neighbors of, and very, you know, everything nice looking, well maintained, very, very good looking communities we build. In my own humble opinion, we happen to build extremely nice communities at Carefree Communities.
What are some of the other niches that that folks are talking about down there at the Home Builders Convention?
I've heard of everything from football fans of certain colleges, like I think Iowa State or something. They got together and did a little development. I thought, you know, you've often heard of different church groups having Protestants getting together and having their own communities for mostly assisted living, probably, or apartment buildings. I know of one in southwest Florida.
Right.
There are so many niches, and you can appeal in your marketing to any of those niches. And people who enjoy a certain golfer or a golf course designer.
Have a whole development just for them. Fuzzy Zeller. This is Fuzzy Zeller Acres. Unbelievable.
Exactly.
Gina, thank you. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I may have to go to Costa Rica then.
You can go anywhere you want, and you can find anything you want. There are home builders here and developers that are trying to find what you want and will build it for you.
All right, Gina. Well, thanks very much for talking with us.
Take care, Frank.
Gina Rossetti is a land developer and builder. She and her partner created two gay and lesbian retirement communities, one in southwest Florida, the other in North Carolina. She joined us by the phone from Orlando, Florida. Yeah, Ken?
Yeah, let me jump into this. This is a great call, first of all, and congratulations, Gina. I hope you guys have great success. Let me first offer a thought and then comment on this. My preference, everybody's got their personal philosophy, is that my preference is, boy, I wish we had a world in which people of different styles and backgrounds and ways of praying could live together and enjoy that diversity. Now, having said that, there's no question in my mind. I've watched the average ice cream parlor go from three flavors, strawberry, chocolate, and vanilla, to about 100. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's 1,000 TV channels now. There's no question that to cater to boomers, you're going to see communities for fitness buffs. You're going to see acreage for people who just love to garden. You're going to see artists' communes. You're going to see Zen seekers forming into their own community. Retired military, by the way, have already built communities.
Sure.
And even colleges are now trying to build housing for their alumni. So this boom is just beginning.
Let's take one last call, and we can go to, why don't we go to Michael, who's down there in Florida already. You're in the Florida Keys, Michael. Where do you retire from there? Michael, are you there?
The answer is you retire somewhere cheaper.
Oh, this is...
Maybe back to Britain.
Michael, I bet you're living on a boat.
I was living on a
I
boat,
see.
Frank. I actually moved back on land. We bought a house in the Florida Keys, and I'm standing on my balcony in my shorts. It's not a pretty sight, but it's very comfortable.
Well, tell us. Do you have a question for us, Michael?
Well, my thing is I'm actually looking to go with my wife to Austin. We were looking at New Orleans. We'd actually found a house in New Orleans we were interested in just a few weeks before before Katrina, and we've had to rethink that just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And we've decided we're going to take a look at Austin in Texas. I'd never really thought of myself as a Texan, frankly, and I don't know how they're going to put up with me, but I've heard that it's a very interesting town. It's got leftist politics, which is important to us. And we're probably going to go there and hunt down the gay community and see if we can attach ourselves to the edges of that, because as your previous guest was saying, the gay community is always the most interesting and vibrant.
Well, it sounds, I want to thank you for your call, Michael, and I want to put one last question around that to Ken, and that is the fact that apparently we in this generation feel that we have more choices and we can really take a look at where we're going to live in ways that I guess our parents didn't. We can slice it politically, we can take a look at cultural distinctions, and it's not just the weather.
Right. Just like when we were kids, we gave some thought to where do we want to go to college. And that was quite a radical change from our moms and dads that were sort of tied to their, you know, communities of origin or where their moms and dads had immigrated from. We not only get to think about where we'd like to live, but we're sort of grown up now. So we can think about where are the taxes reasonable? Where do they have good medical care? Where can you meet people you'd enjoy being with? And not only that, but if you make a change, it doesn't have to be permanent. You can try it out for a while, as your callers have mentioned, and then do it again. And the good news is that whereas in the past, somebody with these sorts of appetites or curiosities would not have been met with much response in the marketplace or many options, today, builders, developers, community developers, as you've heard, are waking up to this generation, and there will be so many more interesting choices out there for high and low-income people, your head would spin.
Ken, thanks very much.
My pleasure.
Ken Dykewald is a gerontologist and CEO of AgeWave, a think tank that studies aging trends, and author of The Power Years, A User's Guide to the Rest of Your Life, and joined us from our New York bureau. Stay with us. We're going to take a look at the bird flu and find out why researchers and medical experts are so concerned.